Don't let Satan tell you that because of your sins, that God's done with you, doesn't care about you, that you're not as valuable to him as a good church person. That's a lie from the devil. But Pastor Jeff, he's had to forgive me 1,000 times. And you know what? He'll forgive you 1,000 more because he loves you.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, The Lost Coin. This is chapter 2 on the series called, Lost. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
In Jesus' famous parable about things lost and found, he illustrates the lostness of mankind with a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son, and a lost older brother. This time, we're going to look at the lost coin. It might help us to remember that Jesus brought this parable of things lost and found after being harshly criticized by the Pharisees and the teachers of the law for spending time with the, quote, undesirables of society. These rigid religious leaders felt it was a step down to be around known sinners, but Jesus did not see it that way at all. He had come to seek and to save that which was lost. I believe you're going to be blessed as we open up the meaning behind the lost coin. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part 2 of the message, The Lost Coin, from the series, Lost.
We often see a flashing sign on the highway. It says Silver Alert. And it'll give the make and model of a car, and it'll give the license plate. And what they're letting you know is somebody with Alzheimer's or some kind of debilitating disease has gotten behind the wheel of a car. They think they do, but they don't know where they're going. And so the whole city goes on a hunt for this one person. Down every highway, you see the signs. Down every highway, there's the plate, there's the make and model, and you're looking for that one person who doesn't know they're lost. They're going down the highway, don't know they're lost. They got to be found because they don't know they're lost. They've got to be discovered because they don't know they're lost. It's the same thing with lost humanity. We're lost and don't know it. We're driving down the road of life and we don't know that we're lost, and we don't know that all of heaven is on the hunt for you and me. All of heaven is geared to finding, to seeking, and saving that which was lost. So to drive the point of our lostness home, Jesus talks about 4 things lost: a sheep, a coin, a son, and an elder brother. He said, let me just get it to you in so many different ways that you will get it. You will get it that man is lost. You might think you're okay and everybody else is okay and we're essentially good and we don't really need any God or need any Savior. I talked to an atheist this week, hardcore atheist, making fun of the Bible, making fun of the promises of God, called me names. It was so good. I love it. I love a good debate. I just love it. It doesn't bother me a bit. Call me names. Go ahead. But I talked to him about God, talked to him about the surety of the Bible, and I just told him flat up, you're lost. And you don't know it. You're driving down the highway. You don't know you're lost. Heaven has a silver alert out for you. Amen. But Jesus said, let me just use illustrations that are true to form. A sheep says, we're all like sheep who have gone astray, but we're also like the coin. And I believe that he used a coin for this reason. The coin bore the image of the king. The coin in Jesus' parable was a drachma, D-R-A-C-H-M-A, drachma. And it was a valuable silver coin worn in a 10-piece garland or necklace by married women. And so you have this beautiful necklace with 10 silver coins on it, drachmas, and one of those coins came loose and fell and became lost. This was not junk jewelry. Jesus would never compare us to junk. It was not junk jewelry. It was valuable, just like your soul is valuable. and it bore the image of Caesar. Remember once when Jesus was asked about taxes? And Jesus said to them, do you have a coin? Hand me one of your coins. And he said, let me see it. And then he said, whose image is this on the coin? And they said, it's Caesar's. Now here's the point. The coin Jesus used as an illustration bore the image of the king. You and I, just like the coin, bear the image of the king. The Bible says, here's what makes your soul so valuable. God said before creating man, he said, let us make man in our image. He said, whose image is on the coin? Caesar's. Now, he made you and me, and he said, I'm going to imprint my image on you. I'm going to make you in my image. You're going to bear the image of the one that made you. You're going to bear the image. He said, let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, we are made with the image of our Creator stamped on our soul. We're not like dogs, cats, birds, fish, nothing. We have been made with the image of the Creator stamped on our soul. We are like Him. We resemble Him. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, whether you're high up on the success ladder in life or you have wound up in a ditch, let me tell you, you are valuable because you bear the image of Creator God. I got two 20s in my hand here. Somebody said, woo. You think I'm going to throw them, don't you? I got three services to do. That'd be an expensive day. Here's two 20s. This one's perfect. This one, I'm going to do this to it. Now, bear with me. Bear with me now. Because here's what the devil tells some of you. Because you've done what you've done, gone where you've gone, wasted your life, made so many bad decisions, he doesn't love you anymore. Listen to me. Here's a perfect 20. This one is all crushed, wrinkled, messed up, stomped. Well, let me stomp it. There. It's stomped. But let me ask you. If I came up to you and said, here, let me give you this one or this one, would it matter to you which one it was? Because even though this one, and you look at this one and you go, well, that's a perfect 20. It hadn't been bent, hadn't been wrinkled, hadn't been stomped, hadn't been messed up. But this one has been all messed up. But you know and I know it has the same value as this one. Same value, right? So what I'm trying to show you is it doesn't matter where you've been, what you're coming out of. If you were a drug addict, an alcoholic, a prostitute, way down and out, or if you were up and out and you were riding high and you had the wife and the husband and the kids and the white picket fence, you're this 20. Or you've been in the gutter, you're this 20. It doesn't matter. When God looks at you, you have the same value. Don't let Satan tell you that because of your sins, what you've done, where you've been, the decisions you've made, the bad decisions you've made. Don't let him tell you that God's done with you, doesn't care about you, that you're not as valuable to him as a good church person. That's a lie from the devil. And I'm here to rebuke the devil's lies out of your brain. But Pastor Jeff, he's had to forgive me 1,000 times. And you know what? He'll forgive you 1,000 more because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And you have the same value. When the prodigal son left the father's house, I'll be talking about him next week. He never ceased being the father's son. And when he came back looking like this, the father welcomed him with open arms, hugged him with a great big hug, kissed him on the cheek, killed the fatted calf, threw a great big party for him, saying, my son who was dead is now alive. He who was lost is now found. And he had the same value as the elder brother that looked like this. Amen, amen. Now, I also noticed that the coin was lost in the house. Think about it, because Jesus never wasted a single solitary word. He meant exactly what he said and said what he meant. If you think about the parable containing four things lost, two of them were lost in the house, two of them were lost by straying out of the house, out of the fold. The sheep left the fold. The coin was lost in the house. The son left the house. The elder brother was in the house. Two strayed and were lost that way. Two got lost right under the father and the shepherd's nose. This one, the lost coin, is lost in the house. I think that's significant. I think it matters. This points, in my opinion, and I believe it's sound interpretation, to how people can so often be raised in church, hear all the teachings, hear the gospel, sing kumbaya, go to all the potluck dinners and all the fellowships, have their name on the roll, and sit right there in the pew for years and are never truly born again. They're lost in the house. This coin was lost in the house. That's significant. I know, because every week we give an invitation to people who are in the house. Come forward and receive Jesus, and then they're made sons and daughters of the house. But you can be in the house and not of the house. Come on, everybody. You can be in the house, but not of the house. Billy Graham once said that the greatest harvest field in the whole world, I feel the greatest evangelist of our time, for sure, hands down. So the greatest harvest field in the world is the church. Because so many coins are lost in the house. They have the value. They bear the image of God, but they haven't been born again. You say, well, how can that be, Jeff? I don't understand how you can sit there and not get born again. Let me show you how I think it happens. In 1879, there was an epidemic of chicken cholera, and it swept America. The poultry population was being decimated by this chicken cholera. And it became an emergency, a national 911. And there was a man, a French biologist named Louis Pasteur. And Louis Pasteur was a brilliant man. He wanted to figure out what was causing this cholera and how to stop it. And he was working on it day and night and night and day. And one day he just finally got so tired, he said, look, I'm going to take a break. I'm going on vacation. And he went on vacation. And when he returned, he injected some chickens with cholera germs that had been left in some flasks while he was on vacation. So it was older cholera germs he injected them with. And to his surprise, the chickens didn't get sick. They're clucking around just being fine. Thinking that the germs in those flasks had spoiled while he was gone, he collected some fresh cholera germs and injected them into the same chickens that had been injected with the first injection. And he had some new chickens, and he injected them also with the fresh cholera. The new chickens all died quickly. But the ones that had been injected with the weaker form lived when they got injected with the brand new fresh cholera germ. The ones that had never been injected with the weaker cholera died. But the ones that had been injected with the weaker cholera, when they got the stronger cholera, the healthy cholera, they lived. And he realized he had just found the key, that the key to stopping the plague was to expose healthy chickens to a weaker form of cholera, which built in them a resistance to the disease. And this is what launched vaccinations. So you get a flu shot, you're getting a little bit of flu so that you won't get the major flu. You say, well, what does this have to do with what you're talking about? Everything. I believe it's possible to be inoculated against the power of the gospel by being exposed to a weaker form, by being exposed to a weaker form of gospel. And there's lots of them out there in America to pick and choose from. They're everywhere, weaker forms of gospel. The gospel that is not preached the way it was meant to be preached. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Repent and believe. Jesus said, he that believes on me has life, but he that does not believe on me does not have the life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You must repent and turn to Christ and admit your sin and ask him for mercy and to forgive you and to come into your heart. There needs to be genuine repentance, genuine turning. But we have instead received a weakened form of the gospel in America. There is the self-help gospel, self-improvement. You can be a better you. If I see another book that says you can be a better you, I'm going to throw up. Jesus didn't come to give you a better you. Jesus came to save your soul and to make you more like him. He didn't come to give you and I a better you. Amen? That self-help gospel is a weaker form that inoculates people from the real thing when they hear it. They say, well, I'm already saved, so I'm good. No, you heard the self-help gospel. You're not good. There's the prosperity gospel. It's all about money. Money this, money that. Jesus came to make you rich, to give you money. That is not the real gospel. He came to make you spiritually rich. You say to me, Jesus said it in Revelation, I am rich and have need of nothing. But the Holy Ghost, or Jesus himself, said to that church, you don't know that you are miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire. Jesus said, you think you're fine, you think you're okay, but you're not. Let me show you your real condition so you can really get saved. Then there's cheap grace. Cheap grace has run a number on the church. It calls people to salvation without calling them to repent or to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We don't do that. We just say, hey, come on down in the altar, and there's something about this altar, it saves you. Just get down on the altar and get your name on a roll, get your name on a card, and you're good. No. You can sit in a garage for 300 years and never become a car. You've got to get saved. You've got to get saved. You've got to get saved. Come on, everybody. You've got to get saved. Amen. This is good stuff. This is red hot. You guys always pull it out of me. I go out here and I say, you know, I'm just going to cool it because I got 3 services to go. I'm not going to sweat. But then I look at you and you amen me and I get cooking. And the whole thing. And you just ruin it for me. Now look, I'm all sweaty already, but that's all right. It's Emmanuel labor. Amen? It's Emmanuel labor. But now, we need the real gospel, the real McCoy, the real thing. And when you get the real thing, see, but I'm concerned that one way that the coin is lost in the house all the time is a weaker form of the gospel is presented, and that person never realizes their true need for Jesus. Now, here, as much as lies within me, you're going to hear the real thing. I'm going to preach the real thing. I'm going to tell you the real thing. I'm going to tell you the truth. God didn't lay his hand on me to tickle ears. Ears are going to be tickled all the way into hell. Your ear can be tickled all the way into hell. I'm not going to tickle your ear. I'm going to tell you the truth because somebody told me the truth and I got saved. Amen? And then finally, the last thing in this incredible parable is the coin was lost by neglect. See, the fitting the coin rested in clearly had loosened. And, this has happened to many of us. You know, a diamond or a ruby or some precious stone in a ring, suddenly we look and one of them has fallen out because the fitting got loose. And this woman wasn't paying attention. She wasn't paying attention. And it eventually fell out by neglect because she wasn't paying attention to those 10 silver coins in her necklace. It came loose and it fell out by neglect. And in the same way, so many times people take the precarious state of their souls lightly. See, we focus on our 401k, not knowing a lot of times you don't even get to enjoy it. I've done funerals where the person, the week they retired, died. and all they had laid up was gone. No, it wasn't gone. Everybody, all their survivors were fighting over it. We worry about the health of our bodies. We take the time and the trouble to work out and look good. But we neglect the one thing more valuable than all else, our eternal souls. Like the coin, our souls bear the image of the King. Like the coin, you can be lost in the house, God's house. Like the coin, a soul can be lost by neglect. Now, here's the end of the parable. It says the woman who lost it realized, she looked down and said, oh, I only see 9 coins. Just like the shepherd saw only 99 sheep, one was gone. Now she's noticing once again that 1 out of 10 or 10% she'd lost. And so it says she lit a lantern and grabbed a broom. And she went through the whole house, shining it into every nook and cranny, shining that lantern in all the dark places and sweeping, trying to listen for that clang, that tinkle of the coin. And she's sweeping and the light is shining, and she's shining the light in the house, and the broom is searching. And I'm going to tell you that light, that lantern, typifies and symbolizes the Word of God. The Word of God brings light. Right now you're getting light out of the Word of God. I'm ministering light. I've lit a light in the house. I've lit a lantern in the house today. And the light is shining. David said, the entrance of your words bring light. They bring understanding to the simple. And the broom is the Holy Ghost. And he's sweeping the house. The light is on, and the Holy Ghost is sweeping the house, going into every nook and cranny, every dark corner, every place with cobwebs, looking and searching until he finds it. The Holy Ghost is searching here today. He's searching in the living rooms of people that are watching. I love you. Isn't God good that he cares enough to light the lantern and send the broom, the Holy Ghost, to sweep the house? Thank God, man, he found me. I was in a dark, terrible corner, covered in cobwebs, lost. And here came the light. God so loved the world. Here came the Holy Ghost convicting me, sweeping my soul. Called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. From lost to found, blind to sight, death to life. God is so good all the time. What a gracious, merciful, incredible God we serve, who would take the time and the trouble and the heartache to send his Son to search for us. And how good he is when his grace finds us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. So Jesus gave this parable to teach us of things lost. Lost out of the house, lost in the house. Nobody could teach like Jesus. Nobody could bring it like Jesus. So today, let me ask a question. Are you saved in the house? Are you lost in the house? Are you in it but not of it? Has it occurred to you that you might be lost in the house? Lots of people are. I'm not here to condemn you, judge you. Nothing like that. I'm hoping that this message and this series lights a fire under us where we get the burden for lost souls and go witness for Jesus everywhere. Because the world's full of lost coins, lost sheep, lost sons, people lost in religion.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted LifeTalk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111. Or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. Coming up on Life Talk.
All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. The world is passing away in all of its lust. But he that does the will of God abides forever.
That's next in a brand new message we're calling The Lost Son. In this series entitled Lost, thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.